Romans chapter 6. We will look at one verse in particular, verse 4, Romans 6, 4. Let's read that together. For we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the joy that can come to us this morning because of what you've done. Without you rising, we have no joy, we have no hope, and Father, we are lost in our sins. But Lord Jesus, we know you did rise, and we have the testimony of many who have written to us down through the years. So I pray that this morning, the reality of your resurrection would dawn on us again. Would you just let us be overwhelmed again at the fact that you rose from the dead? And Father, I pray your Spirit would move in our hearts. Would you, Holy Spirit, touch us again, awaken in our hearts a love for you, glorify Jesus among us, and Lord, we will praise your name. That's what we're going to hear today, is praises of your name, of how you have worked in people's lives. So Father, we just want to lift up the name of Christ right now, and may every heart in this room worship Jesus with all hearts and mind and soul and strength. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Today is a very special day. Today is Easter. And part of the joy of coming into a gathering with God's people is lifting up the name of Jesus. That is the one reason we're here today, is to proclaim that our hope is in Jesus and that we can have new life through him. Now, the memories that come to me as a little guy celebrating Easter, we always got new clothes about this time of the year. And I remember my first suit my mother ever got me. It was a very lime green kind of ugly little suit. It was cool back then, but that brought some joy and expectation to the preparations for Easter. But the greatest celebration is not getting new clothes, is it? The greatest part of our celebration is that new life is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's what we're here to celebrate today. And I pray that the glory of Christ would just shine on your faces as you know the new life that is possible through Christ. Now, last week, I had intended on preaching a sermon about who Christ was, who is Jesus, as following on the heels of the sermon. But that was before I had an idea that there were going to be 11 people baptized today. So we're going to have a very short sermon time so that you can hear the testimonies of all 11 of these folks who will be baptized. You'll get to hear in their own words how the Lord has brought them to salvation and what it means to be baptized and why they are being baptized. So we're going to celebrate this morning. And the question is, what are we celebrating? A few years ago, my brother-in-law asked my wife, he said, "Why are you celebrating Jesus' death? That is just weird that you would celebrate the death of someone." Well, that's not the whole story, is it? Why do we celebrate Easter? We celebrate not necessarily the death of Jesus, but his resurrection. This day is about the victory that comes to us through Jesus Christ as he rose from the dead. So this is about a celebration of his resurrection, which is what verse 4 says, Romans 6, 4. Again, let's look at it one more time. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's what Easter is about. Primarily about the resurrection of Jesus, because he was raised from the dead. This is the heart of the Christian faith. This is our central tenet, believing that Jesus literally and bodily rose from the dead. This is what Easter is about, because the power of the gospel rests in the fact that Jesus actually rose from the dead. The author of Hebrews said his life was indestructible. The power of an indestructible life comes to us by faith. So that power is what overcomes sin. And the power of death is sin. That's a problem that all of us struggle with. We are all sinners. Therefore, sin in our lives causes us to be under the condemnation of death. We're under God's wrath because of the sin. So what will we do with sin? If there is no sin in our lives, death has no place, no authority. But every one of us have sinned, so every one of us have a common problem. But that's the glory of the gospel. The glory of the gospel is Jesus overcame death. The greatest enemy that we will ever face, the greatest enemy that each and one of, every one of us will face is death. And yet, how will we overcome death? We have written testimony from many who saw Jesus on the third day that he rose from the dead. Written to us, recorded, and handed down through history, eyewitness accounts that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And this is what we believe. This is the glory of the gospel. Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't stay dead. Death could not hold him because it had no authority over him. There's no claim, so he couldn't stay dead. Jesus was perfectly righteous. His life was perfectly acceptable to God, and so he rose from the dead. And we too can therefore have no fear of death. As I think it was John Owen said, all death can do is dispatch me to my Savior. It's a window into heaven, into eternal life. So when we put our faith in the righteous life of Christ, that he never sinned, and that when he died, he did not die for his own sins, but he died for every one of us. You put your name. He died for your sins if you're trusting in him and resting in his life. That's the amazing part of the gospel. We have a problem, though, if Jesus did not rise. If he didn't rise from the dead, we are without hope. We're still in our sins. Our sins are not atoned for. We have no hope for the future resurrection. And worst of all, if you've ever told anybody that Jesus rose from the dead, you're a liar. And so am I. I should probably be in prison if I'm up here every week telling you we have hope in Christ when we really don't. And yet, we do. But Paul says, if Jesus didn't lie, we're hopeless. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God. And if Christ Jesus is not raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And if only in this life we have hoped in Christ, then we are of all people most to be pitied. You know, having faith is not the important thing. What is important is what is your faith in? The object of the faith for Christians is Jesus. And our faith is in a risen Lord. He is not a dead Savior. He is not an old story. He's not a myth some guys cooked up from the first century. He is a living man who is the God-man who is alive this very day. If I didn't believe that with all my heart, I would not stand here saying it. I believe that with all my heart. My faith rests in that. And I hope yours does too. I hope you're convinced that Jesus really is alive. And singing, I was looking at some of your faces. You look like you believe it, some of you. There was some smiles, some a little bit wider than usual. Paul went on after he wrote those words I just read. In verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen? He is risen. This is the glory and the radiance of this day. It's a simple fact that will change your life if you believe it. And if you believe it with all of your heart, you will have a kind of confidence and joy that no one will understand. And so they will ask you. And it is then that we have a wonderful opportunity to say, my hope is in Christ. It is not in me. I can do nothing to save my soul because I have sinned. But my faith is in the man who did not sin. He never disobeyed his Father. And so, Jesus rose from the dead. He is alive this morning. And so as we come with 11 folks who want to share how Jesus has changed their life and to tell about their faith journey, you're going to get to hear a living example of the resurrection that is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is that kind of picture. It's a picture of being alive to a new direction, to dying to an old way of life. It's a symbol of having your sins washed away, not in the physical act of baptism, but in the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, our sins are forgiven. They were nailed to a cross over 2,000 years ago. And then the Holy Spirit has applied that saving power in our lives in the present. I want to read Romans 6, 3 to 10 now, a little bit broader than that first passage. And just listen. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. And so he is alive at this very moment. And our faith is in his righteous life. When we're baptized, we're baptized by submersion. We are totally submerged in the water as a symbol of, I deserve to be dead. My sins should cover me over. I should be dead and buried. And yet by faith in Christ, I am raised to walk the newness of life. The life that Jesus lived in conquering the grave and death, he gives to us by faith. And so we accept his power, the power of an indestructible life. That baptism is a picture of a new direction and a new life. It's a picture of a new opportunity and a new Lord. No longer are you the Lord of your life. We are bought with a price by the blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased our life. He is now our Savior, and so we want to follow him. That's what baptism means. Jesus is my Lord. I should be dead, but he has granted me life. So the life that I live now, I will live for him. He owns it. And that is a faith awakening kind of experience, because our faith rests in him and in our hearts when we trust in Jesus and not ourselves. That's the transformation that works by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is demonstrated physically in baptism. And Christ redeems all of us. Another reason for baptism, total submersion. He didn't just save a little part of you. He saved all of you. And so he completely envelops you in his love. And then we're raised to walk in newness of life. So that's a picture of baptism. And we're now going to hear from all of these folks one at a time. And I will just kind of share their names as they come up. But I ask you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you know the same kind of power? Jesus died so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, is what Romans 6 said. Which means we no longer are obligated to live according to the desires of our own sinful nature. We are freed to be servants of the King. And Jesus said, he who the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. The only freedom possible is freedom in Christ. The only freedom you can know, the fulfillment of your soul, it's only possible in Jesus Christ. And it is offered to anyone who will accept it. And 11 people have. And so they're going to come one at a time and share with you their own stories and their own words. And so I believe Michaela Cravens is going to start with us.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, my name is Michaela, and once I decided to invite Jesus in my heart. So I went to my mom and dad's room, and I asked him in my heart, and he came in. I know because I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I wanted to follow Jesus all the days of my life. I love to read the Bible and pray. I like to go to church and talk about Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God because the Bible tells me so. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose on the third day. I believe Jesus can forgive my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven and the only way to eternal life. I believe He answers prayers too. I want to be baptized because I want to show you that I believe in Jesus and I want to obey God's word. I wrote a prayer to Jesus the other night at Monday Thursday service. Make my heart spotless and make it shine like the stars. Please restore my heart to peace and make it wealthy for you. Make it white as snow and make me understand you. Please bless my heart and cleanse it from darkness. I love you, Lord. Please make me like you and make my face shine like the sun. Make my heart beautiful and make my mouth speak your grace and words. Please make my eyes see your way. Make my ears hear your words. Please make my eyes see, my ears hear, my feet walk. And please make my mouth speak. Amen.
Michael Gonzalez, you want to come?
Hello, my name is Michael Gonzalez, and I am 10 years old. I want to be baptized today because I want to obey Jesus, and I want to physically experience what has happened to me already in the Spirit. After going to church for a few years, I noticed I was a sinner, and at the age of 4, I wanted to accept Jesus in my heart, so I could have eternal life and live with God forever in heaven. Since then, I have been reading the Bible a lot more, and I feel like God's calling me to worship him more and pray more. I'm glad I am one of God's sons, and I'm excited to be baptized today.
Caleb Moriarty. Where's Caleb? Oh, here he is. Okay.
I was watching the Gospel Channel on TV and was talking with my mom and dad and have told me about God before. Mom told me more about heaven, God's people. We talked about what heaven is like and how the disciples are there with Jesus. I said I was to be a disciple and be in heaven with God. So I told my dad and we prayed. I know I sin and I'm sorry for my sins. And I want Jesus in my heart. And now I'm being baptized to show everyone that I confessed my sins and that now I belong to Jesus.
David Cravens.
Hello, my name is David Cravens, and I came to know Jesus in chapel at my old school. Mr. Grossman was talking about Jesus, and he said, if you want to believe in Jesus, pray with me right now, and I did. I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. Jesus forgave me because in the Bible he said he will if we ask him. I was about 5 years old. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again on the third day. I also know that he can answer prayers and that he loves us no matter what we do wrong. Jesus is God's Son and the only way anyone can get to heaven. I think of Jesus as somebody powerful and awesome, but once he was little just like me. When he was 12, he was preaching to the Pharisees. He knows what it is like to be 10 like me, so he can help me. I read the Bible and pray every day because I know it is good for me, and the Holy Spirit helps me to be helpful, patient, obedient, loving, kind, and have self-control. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me, taking away my sins, and giving me eternal life. Please help me to be a good father one day and a good son. Please help me to be a great friend of my friends and help anyone if they need help. Amen.
Flo Quincy Pierre.
Hi, my name is Floykin Sipier. I came from Haiti. I did not grow up in Christian family. I was lost. So when I came to the United States of America, I learned a Christian life through my sisters. And now I accept the Lord into my family, into my life a couple months ago. Since then, I felt a close relationship with Jesus. I have sinned, and I know Jesus will forgive me. He died on the cross to give me salvation. And now he is alive. He loves me. He gave me a different life. And I wanted to be baptized to renew my faith today. And therefore, in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, therefore, go and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thank you.
Kim Boucher.
I'm Kim Boucher. Parents wanted me raised as a Catholic, so I went to Catholic school for 6 years, then CCD. I was told when I became an adult, I could make my own choice. As an adult, I fell away from my faith, stopped going to church, found myself only going on holidays, not thinking about God. Then I moved to Main Street, Winchester. In my late 30s, I met my neighbors who were Christians. They were really nice. I liked who they were. One day, Brenda asked me if I wanted to be saved. I said yes. I said yes. Then she explained to me if I knew who Jesus was. I said yes. I'm nervous. So then I said yes. We sat in her room for a little while. And then she asked me if I knew who Jesus was. And I said yes. Where did I stop? Then she explained to me, Jesus died for me for my sins, and I agreed. Then I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins and to come into my life. I really felt good and relieved after that point. I felt the need to start to go to church. So I went to my neighbor's church, but that church wasn't for me. My friend from New Hampshire called me and asked me to try her church, Hope Chapel Nashua, and I did that. I loved it. I found a new home. I went there for 2 years, thought about getting baptized, but that didn't work out for me. That didn't work out for me for a number of reasons. One of the challenges of attending that church was my car would break down, gas prices so high, and snowstorms. I have walked past this church several times, and also a friend told me about it. I came here and loved it. It is almost like my church in Nashua. When I found out baptism was offered here, I wanted to do it. I want to get baptized to show everyone that I am a Christian and I love Jesus. I know I am a sinner and he has set me free. I do believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Very good. Dave Ferlani.
Good morning. My name is Dave Ferlani, and 25 years ago, I was a former Catholic without a church, a Bible, or a prayer life. I learned the hard way that I had married into a family suffering from generations of spiritual problems. Two of my relatives were abusing my children, and one of them was a member of the occult. Despite my education and experience, I felt like a babe in the woods about these things. But I renewed my faith in Christ. I began attending a conservative Christian church and studying the Bible and other Christian literature. And I began making my prayer life what it always should have been. I wish I could tell you that my life went from miserable to wonderful overnight, but I can't. I did not recognize the seriousness of the situation, and I did not realize how spiritually weak I had become. I developed wrong feelings and attitudes, I did wrong things, and I caused serious consequences for myself. I have lost just about everything I ever wanted in life. I have struggled and despaired, but through it all, I learned that I make it a million times worse when I try to live my life without our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I now have peace and hope, and I trust God to bring me through all difficulties. For years, I have been church shopping north of Boston, and I have found a chronic shortage of men's activities in churches everywhere. I eventually found Hope Christian Church after a long search, and I'm very glad that I did. Hope provides a program for men that would be the envy of most churches. Hope has an enormous dedication to overseas missions, and I wish to contribute to Hope's outreach to the local community. I'm being baptized to show that I'm a sinner, to express my faith that Christ died for my sins and rose again. Being baptized also shows my commitment to remain in communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to live always in accordance with God's will. Thank you. Amen.
David Fleming.
I don't know how Todd and them do it up here, I'll tell you, every week. It's absolutely incredible. My name is Dave 1M Fleming, no relation to the 2Ms. And I'm getting baptized this morning, bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is kind of a lengthy one, so please bear with me. My walk with the Lord started about the age of 9. It began around the early 80s when my mom was involved in the Billy Graham Crusade event, in which she answered phones, and since when I entered, the woman there had told her that I wasn't allowed to be there, but instead of sending me all the way home, they decided to put me in my own little room, which is pretty cool. I was watching Billy Graham on the screen, and I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but I really, really liked it and could actually understand it at my young age, and decided to give my life to the Lord that night. When my mom had heard of this, she burst into tears, and I hope they were happy ones. So since she wasn't in the room with me to confirm it, after we got home, she sat down with me and actually did it all over again with me that night just to reaffirm what was already done. Life after that didn't go very smooth for my mom, dad, or myself at the first church that we were involved with, which was the Burlington Church of Christ. And somehow we got kicked out of that church for some reasons I'm still unsure of, but since I was so young and the Bible was so confusing and the teachings meant nothing, it really didn't faze me that much. After whatever incident had occurred, my father had lost all interest in the church thing. However, my mom didn't give up that easily. Weeks, days, months, and even years later, my mom kept trying different churches, and I would go with her. But there didn't seem to be any connection between the church and the parishioners. So after a while, my mom would try different churches without me, since we weren't having very much luck anyhow, and since the teachings, again, didn't make sense to me. I lost interest in the whole church thing altogether. So she went alone from there on out until she could finally find a good church that I could actually get involved with. At age 18, after high school, I entered the United States Navy, but only lasted 8 months, not a veteran. Thinking back throughout the years, getting out of the Navy isn't exactly a wham, where I want to go home to mommy and daddy. It was a very tough process, but thinking back throughout the years, I know that since my parents had become ill the next few years, that I needed to be with them and help them. After I got out of the Navy and finally got home after a lengthy four buses all the way from Mississippi to Boston, they didn't give me the easy ride home. I started hanging out with old friends again, drinking up on Saturday nights, getting drunk and hitting the bar scene, thinking it was cool to join the in crowd and just drink and drink and drink and have fun swearing and acting like I was one of the big boys. Finally, my mom found Grace Chapel, and she would go in and after the sermon invite me there, saying that the sermons actually made sense and that there was actually a service for people my own age. So I kept refusing week after week, saying, no way. The same stuff would just continue happening, not understanding the sermon, didn't mean anything to me. So I says that, no, I'm not going. So then my mom tried another place, and I just kept on telling her, I don't care what place you find, I won't go. I'm tired of doing this stuff. I don't know the Bible. I don't need anything about this. I was so confused. So for 8 years, I kept drinking, partying, and didn't want to consider church or the Bible considering how confusing it was. What was the use of even trying? Finally, in the year 2004, my mom was going to this place called Hope Christian Church. Week after week, she came home and said what a great sermon it was. And I never gave it a thought to ask why it was such a great sermon considering what had happened in the past. So after one of the Sundays, she came home and asked me to join her for one of the sermons. And when I was ready to, she gave me the choice. I kept saying, no, no, no. She had mentioned how small the place was and how friendly the people were. So the following Sunday, I showed up with her and sat way in the back to make sure I could easily escape if necessary. However, after sitting and listening to now former Pastor Ray Bandai preaching, I found myself actually listening and actually understanding what he was saying. It was so basic, and felt myself in awe after it was over. What got me even more of a shock phase was when people actually approached me and started talking to me. I actually felt pretty welcome there because everyone was so warm and welcome when I first approached. So I decided to give it a few more shots just in case it was a one good week fling. But each week it got better and better. As a matter of fact, there was a book and a study on a book called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren only a month or two after I started attending here, and Paul Fleming, with the two M's, actually approached me and asked me to go to his house for the study on the book, on the Bible and the video. And I was so hesitant, as I hadn't read the Bible any time in my life, and I really didn't know how the people would be studying with, and I had never had Christian friends before, so I had no clue what to expect. But I accepted. And the love and conviction I felt over that house was so overwhelming. The prayer, the conviction I had over there was absolutely overwhelming. So I started coming here to Hope more and more each week and found myself volunteering when needed. I was overwhelmed by the encouragement I was receiving by these other people that I barely knew. I felt a sense of accomplishment after serving in whatever way I was. I realized this shouldn't be about Hope Christian Church. However, it was because of the Lord's leading and my mom helped me find this place that has really changed my life for the better. I find myself convicted by Todd Cravens, Michael Davis, or whoever else preaches, as everybody uses a basic concept and always uses their own families as examples of how we should live. Year after year, I was asked about being baptized and always had the answer of not yet. Since I've started coming to Hope, I've had to overcome a lot of obstacles in my personal life. And you, Hope, came to my side and prayed for every situation I was in. I've also seen God answering prayers in many ways, and I'd like to share a couple of those experiences with you, hopefully in very short detail, as I tend to mumble a lot. My mom has been sick. My parents have been an integral part of my life for the last 20 years, I mean my entire life, rather. For over 30-plus years, my best friends and with me through the good times and the bad. And my mother has been suffering through rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, and a few other chronic diseases that there's no cure for, just a medication to help maintain the condition. But after years of prayer, she's doing stable and medication's helping her stay alive. My father, however, had a much different experiences in the last 3 years. He had two near-death experiences. One I won't tell you about, I'll tell you about it another time. Most of you already know about it. The first time was, I'll make it brief. I was at work and I got a call from my mom stating my father had to be taken to the hospital with a severe chest pain. And we thought, oh, no big deal. He's a strong guy, been going for 30 plus years, no big deal. That night we get a phone call that changed the Fleming life basically forever. We were told he was on life support. He was in a coma, comatose state. And I wasn't allowed to see him for the first 24 hours that I was there. When I heard about it, they told us to stay away. There was no reason to come up and see him at that point. Then Ian Whitfield, who was at a men's retreat or an elder retreat, whatever it was, he came back and heard about it and drove me down to the hospital that night because he knew I was in no shape or form to drive. When I got there, I saw the most ugliest scene that turned my life basically upside down temporarily, not knowing what would happen in the future. My father had a big tube going down his throat and two tubes going inside his arm. I'd asked the doctors what had happened. They said he had the worst heart attack they have seen in over 30 years. Or asthma attack, rather. The first asthma attack in about 30 years. Don't worry, I'm getting near the end. Don't worry. Most of you know about the job situation I was going through between August 2006 and February 2008. In 2007, believe it or not, I went through 12 warehouse jobs. I was getting totally discouraged as I couldn't figure out why God was putting me through these trials of job after job. You, Hope Church, came to my side through the whole way by praying every single week that the Lord would land me the job I could actually use with the hidden talents that I've noticed that I've had in my previous jobs. Well, the prayer was answered. Since February of 2008, I have been employed by a toner company. Most of you already know that. Have been an integral part of this job, being lead receiver. My boss continues to tell people that I'm the best receiver that he has had in the past 10 years since the company's been around. Since coming to Hope and being taught many things, one of the things I've learned is it's not about me. It's about the Lord performing his will through me at this company. Every compliment I get from people, which bounces right off me every time, goes right to the Lord. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. The Lord is to be glorified by our great actions. Granted, we aren't guaranteed the next day, but I pray every day that the Lord would bless and prosper the company I work for and keep using me to help it to grow, to glorify his kingdom. A lot of you have asked me why I've never been baptized before. Many of you have. It's because I had the wrong impression of what it meant. Even after several people talked to me about it, I still had the wrong impression. I had the impression that getting baptized meant you had to be a perfect person, could never sin again in your life, being a marked man in society by doing something wrong. I had that definition in my mind for several years. Well, Ian Whitfield has been working with me the past couple of weeks on a number of issues in baptism and the assurance of salvation. And I knew what I believed, I just couldn't express it in words. I had a problem describing why I knew I was saved by grace and faith, but couldn't grasp exactly what those two words meant. After reading and studying, I can now say that being saved by grace and faith basically means I have found favor in the Lord, am trusting him for my salvation, and trusting him every day to get me through the everyday struggles of life. I know the penalty for sin is death. However, Jesus sent his only son to the cross to pay the penalty for my sins and was raised from the dead to allow me to be born again and to have eternal life with him.
Amen.
By accepting his free gift of grace, I now belong to Jesus. I want to get baptized today as an outward expression of what has happened on the inside of me. I'm no longer condemned by my sin. I've been raised to a new life in Jesus. I'm a new creation in him. Thank you.
I think Jesus might be calling you to be a preacher. David Risgen, would you like to come talk to us?
Notes would have been good. I didn't think to make notes. I just made them just now. And I may be the second most surprised person to be here. I'm assuming that my wife is the first. given that I didn't mention this to her. But that's not the only reason. If you had asked me several months ago to describe my ideal church, this would not have been it. I would not have picked a church in a former convention center. I would not have picked a church with a rock band. I would not have picked a church with the word evangelical, which in Massachusetts typically means faith healing, damnation pamphlets, and snake handlers. So I'm a little surprised. If you'd asked me to describe my ideal church, it would have been in the center of town. It would have been painted white with clapboard and perhaps wood-fired stoves and people in black cloth and that sort of thing. The kinds of churches that I've attended when I have attended churches in the past, which didn't do all that much for me, apparently. I should tell you I didn't come here as a Christian. I wouldn't have described myself as a Christian. I came here somewhere between agnostic and atheist, but that doesn't mean I came here ignorant. I had read the Bible many times and in many contexts, and other texts as well. Text, that's what you call the Bible at college. I had taken various courses in the Bible. I had taken comparative creation myths. The Bible is literature, where you deconstruct the Bible and compare it to Grimm's fairy tales. And a course called Christian Mythology, which I took just because I was intrigued by the name, and it was taught by an atheist who spent the time explaining and pointing out why the Bible was myth. So in any case, had you asked me then, a few months ago, if I would be here, I might have laughed out loud or inside. So let's start with one question. Why am I here? Well, my wife would come here, and that was a random event. She met Elisa on Town Day, and she started attending, and she kept telling me what a great time she was having, and she didn't nag or ask, but she just kept mentioning what a good time was, and gee, it would be really nice if I went with the family. So I did, and I did it mostly to please her and for my own internal amusement. I'm not making this up, by the way, except I'm making it up on the fly, mostly. I'll give you one piece of my background, which I discussed with Todd the other day. I used to be in the military, probably, let's say, prior to this or what's coming, the most fulfilling time of my life. Everything you do in the military, you do for somebody else or for some higher purpose. And what I was telling Todd was, you're shining your boots, but you're shining your boots for America. And that feels pretty good. And over time, I remember somebody bumping into an old friend who said, gee, you walk differently. And I didn't really know what that meant, but I would have described it, if asked at that time, that I walked without fear. And what I mean by that is that I knew what I was doing was right, and that I, so long as I followed the rules and had discipline, and the discipline that was given to me in the military is the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is the military discipline Bible, that you lead a good life and you a worthy life, and you're doing things that are more important than yourself. And they say in the military, whenever you do something good, whenever you're in an award, they say this award reflects credit and honor upon not you, but your unit and the military and the United States. And I've actually missed that, kind of passively missed that. That's, I thought that was something you couldn't get elsewhere. It certainly isn't in the civilian world, no offense. But it's a certain feeling that there's something more than just you. When I get to look something up, I sent Todd an email. You have to bear with me because I have to see what it was that I said. I was so eloquent then, you know. One moment. Todd, what did I say in my email? I'm just wondering there.
There was so much eloquence, I can't
remember. Oh, well, okay, here we go. This is actually an important thing. My New Year's resolution was to read the Bible again, for no good reason, but sounded like a good New Year's resolution. And I'd have a Bible reading program, and I have my little BlackBerry, and it has 16 Bibles on it, which is kind of fun. You can compare translations. And as I mentioned, I've read the Bible many times and in many contexts. And as I read the Bible this time, I'm reading it the first time. And I really mean that. I have to go to old notes and say, I know I've read this, but I don't remember it saying this. And I don't remember it saying it this way. And I have to say, the Bible makes a lot of sense, which is very strange for me to say. Really strange. But the more I read, the more sense it made, and I do take it. It's clear. I'm an analyst, by the way. I'm a paid skeptic, and it's clear that the witness, those are witness testimonies, and it's fairly clear when you read them with an open mind that that's what's going on. And so if you accept that those are eyewitness testimony, then that has certain implications that lead somebody eventually to stand on a stage and say, yes, I have no problem with the first one. I am a sinner. I would be lying if I didn't say, I'd be lying if I said I don't believe in God. I would be lying if I said I don't believe that Jesus died for my sins, because, as I said, it's fairly clear that that is what occurred. So it's only one step from there to say, thank you, Hope, for putting up with me, even though you didn't know you were doing so, and B, that I am ready to become a Christian and am ready to be baptized as such. And that's Amen. Pretty much all I have to say.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Evan Dingle.
Hi, my name's Evan. Before, my life was just fun and games. Didn't really have much meaning to it. And there's no like direct path for me to take. It was just confusing. And I surrendered to God once I started going to church more and more here. At first, like 3 years ago when I started going, I didn't really care much. But I just went here because they had good food. And like I said, more and once I started going here more and more, like I liked it and I started to become a Christian. And now my life is more alive with meaning, and it's a lot clearer than it used to be. And I know where I'm going. And I'm being baptized because I believe Jesus died on the cross for me.
George, where's George? Here he is. George Levine.
Good morning. I'm George. And, I moved here from Jamaica, let's say, around 2 years ago. And when I came here, I just wanted to have a change in life because I would say the life that I used to live was wrong. And I remember just playing basketball with Fusion after school, and he asked me if I wanted to start to come to church, and I said yeah. And then after that, I just like felt it necessary to really change my life. And I met Kenny, Peter, Nikki, Michaela, and Jacob, Paul, and Shaq, and then we just all started to hang out, and I started to really just actually like coming to church and just wanted to change my life. And then I just became just in love with God for just the things he had to offer, and just it was just an overwhelming process for me in a way. And I can't really explain it, but I just wanted more and more of God in my life, and I just started to read my Bible more, started to pray more, and then I just decided that, yeah, I want to get baptized to show everyone that I love Christ and that I want to have a part of him in my life forever. So, thank you.
What we're going to do now is we're going to be baptized. We're going to go into the back. And I just want, if all of you would stand who are going to be baptized, if you would just stand right now. And Ian, would you just say a prayer for us before we begin to sing?
Well, Jesus, thank you that this morning we get to listen to 11 different stories that all have the same root and thread running through it, that you have chosen these 11 to become children of yours. Thank you that you purchased their life with your blood. Thank you that you have placed your Holy Spirit within them, and that they have come to this day, a day when they want to declare to those who are here present, and indeed to the heavenly places, that they belong to Jesus, and that they want to give their lives the balance of their lives to Jesus and to live with him. And Lord, we are witnesses to that this morning, and we rejoice in them, and we rejoice in you. And we pray that as they leave now and go through the waters of baptism, that this would be a day that they will remember, a day when that you will bless them, and that you will pour out your blessing upon them, and that we would rejoice with that blessing upon them. And we pray these things with one voice and with one heart. Will you all please join me in saying, amen.
Amen. Okay. Should you come back?
Well, you can go on through, and the rest of us are going to sing.